This is Norm Diamond. I'm in virtual KBOO studio with Isis Harris this Monday morning. Good morning, Isis.
Good morning, Norm. How are you?
I am doing well. You look cheerful. I got to alert our listeners that any extraneous noise we hear is from a three-year-old in the background who doesn't quite yet appreciate that his mom is actually recording and going to be on the air. So other than that, the voices you hear will be those of Isis, who has recently obtained journeyman status as an electrician, as a union electrician. Becoming journeyman has both a high level of skill and a tremendous amount of perseverance. So let's start out. Tell us about that process.
Yes. So the apprenticeship program that I joined is through NECA IBEW Electrical Training Center. It's the Inside Wireman program, and it is a five-year program. So you have 8,000 hours on the job and about 2,000 hours of classroom time. And during the course of my apprenticeship, I started off in the low voltage program and then transferred over to the Inside program. So that added a little time, but then I also have a three-year-old, so there was a maternity leave that was taken during the course of the program that also extended my training. So it was a long road, and perseverance is definitely the right word to use as far as what it took in order to complete.
And it seems to have paid off too. We were talking about the enhanced responsibility you have on a job.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a change that happens from apprentice to journeyman, where there's a different level of respect that you're given as an independent worker, as someone that's able to complete a job, and just, you know, the being seen as a more capable individual on the job site is very important, and it adds to the morale while doing the work.
Well, I've congratulated you personally, separately from this, but now let's put it out over the air. Congratulations. I think that's a great accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you, and I suspect the three-year-old in the background, Dominant, is going to be proud of you too.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's my hope.
Let's move to the topic of our conversation. More than 40 years ago, I used to have tea regularly on Thursday mornings with the head of the Columbia Pacific Building and Construction Trades. And one of our topics was diversity and the need to enhance diversity in the workforce, in all the construction unions. And by diversity, we were talking about racial diversity and gender diversity. Like I say, that's more than 40 years ago, been having that conversation. Outside of the construction unions, I've been aware of the same conversation in other unions as well. And of course, lawsuits even have been brought by people who felt that they've been excluded from union membership on grounds of their race, on grounds of their gender. You're right now, you're creating a project, or you're part of creating a project we're going to get to. But as a Black woman, what's your perspective then on this issue of diversity?
My take on the issue of diversity is that there's more needed in several different industries, but in construction, particularly, it does stand out as a need. There has been more gender diversity, I would say, since the beginning of my apprenticeship to now. I have seen more women on the job, but I haven't seen more racial diversity per se. A lot of times I am the only person of color on job sites or on my crew, or am the only Black woman that may be on a project. And that is something that, you know, it's pretty glaring that there is more racial diversity that's needed. So it definitely needs to be a more intentional recruitment process.
Why is it taking so long? I mean, again, there's been talk and talk and talk.
I think that's part of why it's taken so long, that there's been a lot of talk and not a lot of action behind the talk. I think that a lot of the talks happen at a very high level and not on basically the ground or grassroots level, where it's actually affecting the workers themselves. A lot of initiatives are started by these coalitions of contractors or training programs or things of that nature, but it doesn't necessarily trickle down to what you see in the field itself.
Why not?
I think it's just the levels at which it happens. So the conversations are good, and the conversations may be rich about the diversity that's needed. There may be statistics and the information that is shared in those conversations, but when it comes to actionable items, I think that that's where there's a lack. There's not a lot of action behind the conversations. There are different programs that may be put in place that are supposed to enact those type of things on work sites, as far as making work sites safer, enforcing different rules as far as discrimination, things of that nature. But if you're not working on the intentional aspect of recruiting from more diverse communities, then everything that's happening at those high levels isn't as impactful as it should be.
I'm going to say it a little bit more strongly, and you can agree or disagree with what I say. Sometimes talk at whatever level can be a cover for non-action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if we want to get raw about it, Norm, we can do that too. So
this is your opportunity.
There is definitely that is a problem. I think that there is a lot of talk that sounds good, but just no real action behind it, and sometimes no intention of actually enforcing those different things. So I think that once it comes a point where something is put together that makes it easier for these people, these companies, these organizations, and just to get behind it and help to push it and not even build it, when that happens and they don't get behind it, I think it really shines a spotlight on the fact that they may not be really behind the words that they speak.
You and I have talked about the way in which Black folks, we've talked specifically Black men, are channeled into certain kinds of jobs, certain kinds of expectations about their lives. How much is that a factor too? And how do you see that actually?
I think that there's some limiting beliefs within the Black community, and there hasn't been a lot of action put into debunking myths on the potential to do different things. So I think, there's a lot of different things as far as like STEM and STEAM and things of that nature, so that the horizons are broadened for the opportunities for people of color to get into, and particularly the Black community. But I do think that there have been some limiting beliefs as far as how people can get out of impoverished situations within the Black community, as far as like playing ball and getting into sports. Like, those are the only options to live a good life, or those are the only options for Black men to have any type of economic empowerment. I think that the trades themselves, that historically that they have been, that they have excluded people of color, trade unions in particular, and that's you can look in a history book and see that. Now I do think there's a lot more talk about diversity efforts. I think that there's action behind diversity within the trades, or at least initiatives in place, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think that one of those actionable items is actually getting the information out to the Black community, getting the information out to BIPOC communities about pathways into construction, into the trades, so that individuals have the information that they need to obtain these jobs, this middle class employment, so that they don't have to accrue a bunch of college debt thinking that that's the only way that they can actually have a good life and take care of their families.
You've been active now in creating some of those opportunities. This goes well beyond just talk at this point. What's your role been? And tell us what you've been creating.
So what I'm working on now is the Community Pulse series. And this is an event series, a three-part series that I created. My company, Everyday Grind, is basically the platform that I used in order to create this series. And it's a series that is designed to connect the BIPOC community, the Black community, to pathways into construction. So by the way that the event is organized is that there will be pre-apprenticeship programs, apprenticeship programs, construction contractors and construction adjacent businesses that all come to one place, and they're able to provide the information that they need, that the community needs in order to understand what the actionable steps are that they need to take in order to get into the construction industry. So it's an effort to encourage intentional recruitment from the Black and BIPOC communities. But I just want to say that I am very intentional about getting the information out to the Black community, because I feel like they are one of the more overlooked demographics as far as recruitment goes for the construction industry. So with that being said, these three events were put together. They will take part in three different areas in Portland, three different areas in Portland, so that everyone has action at getting the information that they need to basically put that information into play in their own lives. So the first event is going to happen on August 20th. It will happen at the field that is next door to the Salvation Army. It'll be an outdoor event, but there'll be some climate control measures in place as far as canopy tents and canopy tent fans to keep people comfortable while they're there. There'll be some hands-on workshops that are going to be facilitated by electrical workers for the wire light workshop, which is sponsored by the NECA IBEW Electrical Training Center. And then there will be building a birdhouse with the community, and that is the Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute that will be facilitating that workshop.
You come there, you make a birdhouse, and you get to take it home, is what I...
Yeah, so you build it there, you get to take it home and, you know, put it wherever you want in your yard. But also, I think it's just important for people to have that hands-on experience, for it to be interactive, for them to, you know, touch the tools and the some of the materials that they would be dealing with working in those different areas. The Northeast STEAM Coalition will also come out and do something with the youth. So for the younger kids, they'll come out and do a workshop. They're going to be building a solar-powered model that the kids can take home as well.
Nice. And I understand games and activities for kids. This is a family-friendly event.
Yes.
And got to mention, there's going to be food.
Yes. So there will be a kid zone that will have face painting and balloon animals, things of that nature, so that outside of the workshop, the kids have some entertainment as well. There'll be a DJ, you know, there'll be some music so that people aren't just kind of, you know, just existing at this event. But there will also be free food. There'll be a light breakfast that's served, as well as a lunch that comes free to the community or to the attendees at the actual event.
Tell us again, when and where?
On 8/20/22, it will happen at the field that is next door to the Salvation Army on Williams in Northeast Portland. It is at 5325 North Williams. That's where the Salvation Army is located. And the field is right next door. And the streets will be barred off, so you'll see some signage. If people come out, they'll see some signage that says, you know, event ahead, or, you know, road closed, things of that nature. So you'll see those things that will give you an indication that you are where you're supposed to be. So 8/20 is the first event. 9/24 is the second event. And October 15th is the third.
And what time? What time of day?
It will be 11 to 5.
Okay, listeners, you also get to meet Isis, who will be there, right?
Yes, yes. Please come out, have a conversation. Let's get into it.
Very good. Thank you, Isis. I'm going to wish you luck with the events. I hope we reach some people actually will show up. But it's also important for all of us to be aware of just the larger kinds of issues around diversity,
yes,
as well.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Without the information, there's, you know, we can't really put it into action and have an impact on our lives or the lives of others. And that's what this is about, just getting the information out there so people can utilize it how they see best.
You're talking with Isis Harris. This is Norm Diamond for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO.
Thank you.
Thanks, Isis.